He threw one high. He won that game off a wild pitch.
7-0 in the third, and there I go.
Trap to me, and I was like, oh boy. Coming out of high school, man, a lot of dudes don't understand like how tough it really is.
I'll take my odds at any day of the week.
Say that again.
I'll take my odds any day of the week.
Talk your shit, bro.
And we back with the 2% podcast. I'm your host, Kiambu Finches. We got Harrison Ray. Today we got a different sport in the house. You know, we did our baseball the first season, did a little basketball this season. Now we got a football personnel in the building right now. Spent a little time with the Green Bay Packers scouting department, and now he's on with Vanderbilt Commodores as the director of scouting for the football team. We got Brandon Jones. What's up, brother?
Fellas, how y'all doing, man? Glad to be here, man.
Yes, sir, man. Appreciate you doing this. Man, so we first met at a baseball camp, and we had a very in-depth conversation just regarding the football landscape, recruiting, and how Vanderbilt's going to push forward in the season. Already off to a good start against Hawaii. And so just to kick it off, how has what's been the biggest, I guess, difference this year in the locker room and the coaches, coaches' staff? Like, what's been the jump so far?
I think for one, like, you know, anytime you have, like, staff turnover, you realize that it's about that year two or year three that you really start to see like who we actually have, like who we inherited it, who did we recruit, and who are we attracting, right? So I think like right now you look and we're in year three. And so I think team three is probably the most ahead of the curve out of the first two teams that we've had, because again, we've been able to retain some of the guys that we've had, but also like we're understanding how we're changing the bodies of the roster, you know, getting more length, getting more speed. So we're addressing those things. And as you just start to, you know, intertwine those with what you already had, you're bringing in, you're establishing a culture, you're establishing this is how you want it. You can put your thumbprint on it. And at that point, you start to see, you know, successes, small successes. You'll see wins. You'll see yourself carrying into the third and fourth quarter, like still being in games. And so right now, you know, the goal is postseason play. And however that is, you know, that's for us, that's plus six. And so it's postseason play. And however we get those six, it is what it is. But that's the goal for this year.
How is I guess, like, from a recruiting standpoint, what's the best way, I guess, you guys go about getting those guys to come to Vanderbilt when, you know, Vanderbilt's not traditionally the big SEC football school?
Sure.
And so, like, what's, like, the process in, like, getting those 4 or 5-star, 3-star, whatever it may be, to get them to come?
Oh, I think, for one, like, the way we approach it from a scouting department, in the sense that like we erase the stars. I don't want to see stars, I want to see a skill set, right? So we evaluate the skill set at that point. He may not have a star attached to his name. He may have a star plus attached to his name. I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about the skill set. Like, does his skill set fit what we're trying to do here, how we're trying to move this program forward? Does it fit our scheme? And so again, no knock on the stars, but aside from the stars, I could care less about that. Your skill set is what's going to speak and what's going to implement, what we're going to implement, what we're going to fold in. And that's ultimately what's going to impact the game, not those stars.
Nah, that makes sense. Because it do be people who can, you play against some of those 4 and 5 stars in high school, and it's like, really?
Yeah, no doubt.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
And then you might play against somebody who's not even known, but he's cooking.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's cooking.
Absolutely.
And so, I guess that guy who's not that 5-star, I think it'd be harder for him to get recruited since he doesn't have a lot of eyes on him. So how can, I guess, like, speaking to the player, not from like your perspective, but speaking to the player, like, how can he get noticed if he's not, he's nice. Like, he knows he's nice. The coach knows he's nice, but he's not, he ain't got no rating behind him.
Yeah. I think the first thing you can do is this. Anytime you turn on the tape, right? Everybody's highlight tape looks good. It's a highlight. That's what it is. It just highlights everything you do well. I want to be able to turn on the tape and say yes to just your game film, period. I want to be able to watch you for 3-4 plays or that first drive and say, yeah, he's explosive. Even if the ball's not coming to you, even if you don't have a catch, even if you don't have a tackle, I just want to see how you ran through that guard. Yeah, he's explosive. He's got heavy hands, right?
Yeah.
So, like, when you turn on the film, you can see guys that jump and flash. You might be watching a guy here, but if somebody else flashed on tape, it's like, ooh, who was that? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Who was that kid from Roswell? I need to go back and, okay, let me jot that number 8. So you're always cross-referencing and cross-checking, right? And again, you're it's not that your eyes are everywhere, but again, you see flashes while you're watching this guy on film. You see somebody else jump, somebody else pop. So you got to be able to always go back and do the work on that just to even just know who he is. Just be aware. And the biggest thing, again, is like, you know, those guys, again, they, I would ask them to just dominate the film. The level that we play on, like, it's, you can have some developmental players, right? But at the same time, I got to be able to turn on the tape and see you dominating that guy in front of you, period.
Yeah.
Like, if not, it's going to be hard for you to play here because those guys we play on Saturday and on the other side of the field.
Come on now.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They have, like, senior on their the back of their jersey, right? Yeah. Because they got somebody to take care of. Like, that's a different type of dude, right?
Yes.
So, therefore, you can only be so developmental or you're going to get exposed once you get out there. So, we just got to try to find that balance and address it from that way.
You just touched on something, and you said developmental. How much development goes into the freshmen, the sophomores, or the transfers? Because you do have a kind of a short window to get things up and running and cracking. Because you looking to play these teams, and we can't spend too much time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we got to get guys who either already ready or ain't going to take that much time to get them ready. Mm-hmm. And so, like, what's that like over there?
The biggest thing is the initial evaluation process. Like, I think it's key to know who you have coming in your doors, right? And when you have them coming in your doors, you have to have a plan for them when they come in. Like, hey, listen, we're going to take this kid. He is a projection player. In the sense that he might be undersized, but it's a trait about him that we can't say no to, right? So if I take that projection player, he's instinctive, he's around the ball, so he'll probably touch the field before that project does, because that project is, he might have a size measurable or something like that, but his instinct to play this game is not there. So he would actually put somebody at risk if we put him on the field right now.
His liability.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So that projection type player, he can insert right now because his instincts, his playmaking ability is very high. They're like improv skills are probably like really through the roof. Like, I don't have to have everything right, but he'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So for the most part, you can build your roster off of some projects, but you got to take more projection type players than you do projects, or it's going to be flipped. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to be stuck with all these big, long bodies that are projects. And then when they have to touch the field, coach, y'all getting blown, get off the field.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, where you can take those projection players who might not be as big, and he'll figure it out. He'll make a play on the ball. He'll, you know, cause a turnover. He'll punch the ball. He'll get loose, or he'll slip the second level. Like, they find a way.
He's going to do something.
He's going to do something. And the thing is, like, you can't get caught up on size all the time, because they weren't small just starting yesterday. They've been undersized their whole life, right? So they've been playing in the backyard their whole life. They've been playing pickup their whole life. So at the end of the day, coach, he's been getting missing his whole life. So he know how to get loose.
Yeah.
I promise you. You know what I'm saying?
You know
what I mean? Like, he's played street ball enough, coach, that he understands how to get himself out of vulnerable positions. He understands that.
Gotcha. And I was going to ask you about what's the balance like player-wise when it comes to those two types of players, but more say, what is it like mentality-wise, knowing that, okay, we might not be getting the biggest guys or the strongest guys, like how are we instilling this type of mentality in them, or are we finding these guys that have that mentality that they don't care, they're ready to run through whoever is in front of them, like,
sure.
What is it you guys, or is it, all right, we're looking for certain characteristics in guys?
I think you find those characteristics, and then you also, like, again, at the end of the day, you find good football players.
Okay.
Right? The name of the game that we play is football. So you find those guys. Mm-hmm. They're going to come in all kind of packages, right? Now, what I can't do, it's a big man's game. Mm-hmm. I can't take all small packages and expect to go out here and do something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a big man's game. So what I can do is, if I take enough football players, we'll figure it out. I promise you we will, because at the end of the day, like, if they love the game enough, they'll find a way to figure it out, whether that's in the film room so that I can anticipate a little better, whether that's just picking up on keys, his inside foot is back, he running the slant, like, just things like that, so he can anticipate and play faster. And if I can play faster and I am smaller, I can get to the ball. If I can get to the ball, I can affect the ball. If I can affect the ball, it's not much you can do. I'm influencing the game. Like, and so then my size doesn't matter because he's impacting the ball.
Yeah. I went to a Miami baseball camp back in high school, and at the time Jim Morris was the coach. And at the end of the camp, in baseball it's like five tools. You got the hit for power, you got the fielding, arm, something else I'm missing. But he said there's a sits tool that he looks for. He's like, can he play? Mm-hmm. Like, forget all these things that, because that's what they measure it by, all these, you know, teams. That's they measure, like, he's a 5-2 player, 3-2 player. But the end is like, can he play though? He might not have a strong arm. He might not be able to hit the ball at the park, but he's a baller, mm-hmm. you know? So that kind of reminds me of what you're talking about in this instance, like looking for football players. Yeah.
Like, I think I heard it explained best, like you have people that play ball and then you have ball players. Mm-hmm. I want ball players.
Ballers.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. People that play ball, they participate. Yeah. I mean, participation in this sport, that's a non-negotiable. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's true.
You here. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. what are we talking about? You here. You showed up. Like,
cool.
Okay. Yeah.
You don't get nothing for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? So at the end of the day, man, you're looking for ball players. And mm-hmm. ball players impact the game. And they come in all sizes, right? So if you just stuck on, I need this trait, I need this size, you're going to miss a lot of guys. You are. You're going to miss on a lot of guys. Like, it's a lot of guys that have went on to have great NFL careers, even end up in the hall, but they mm-hmm. come out, he wasn't big enough. He wasn't fast enough. Coach, he can play ball, period. You know what I'm saying? So, again, and it's a balance, right? Of course, everybody wants that big body, that elite speed, and mm-hmm. so does everybody else. It's 117 other D1 schools that want that too, right? So you got to be able to sort through that. And do the work, man. Do the work. Like, I think the biggest thing is in the evaluation process, like, for me to evaluate, you know, with my ears instead of my eyes. Like, that discredits so much. I'm taking what you said about him instead of turning the film on and watching it myself, right? Because, like, we have two different perspectives on that guy. Now, some things we're going to see the same.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if I'm evaluating with my ears, oh, man, he ain't that good. I'm automatically thinking he's not that good. Because I'm listening, just turn on the tape. Let me see that he's not that good.
So that must be, cause I'm sure in recruiting you get calls and you get emails. And so you're hearing, I mean, that's how you, like, people talk through the grapevine. Okay, this player. Mm-hmm. And then so you saying just by what you hear, you're not going to count. Even like somebody's good mm-hmm. and you hear that they're like a talent, you still going to turn on that tape.
Yeah, absolutely. Because your good and my good are two different things. Your hot and my hot are two different things. Your spicy and my spicy are two different things.
We just talked about that.
You know what I'm saying? So like when you're talking about like the evaluation process, it's almost like you take it with, hey, I appreciate that. Now let me go back and do the work. Let me go get in the lab and do the work. You know, some and you'll learn that some sources are more credible than others because they've done the work. And so that information they're giving you, it just allows you to say, okay, if you say, hey, man, this kid can play. And then you're, okay, what games did you watch? Well, I watched Florida, I watched South Carolina, and I watched Kentucky. Okay, bet. If you say he can play off of those three opponents, then I'm going to go watch his bowl game. I'm going to go watch this game. I'm going to watch a same level of competition to see if I get that same feel for him, right? And you might have watched, say, a directional school, right? You know what I'm saying? And Northwestern, whatever it may be, Northwestern State, blah, blah, blah. But, like, at that point, the level of competition is not the same. So he was good there.
Yeah.
But then go turn on the film when it's somebody of equal or even better talent. Mm-hmm. Is he still good at that point? So it's not about being good, like, once. It's about how consistently can he be good. That's another thing you look for is consistency, because that's key. That's what's going to keep you there.
That's a fact. What's your... What was your time like in Green Bay? You did your internship down there in the scouting department. Like, talk us through that.
Man, honestly, like, it was hard.
Really?
It was hard, man. It was so hard.
No way.
In the sense that, like, I was a blank slate when I went to Green Bay. Like, I knew ball. I played ball. I coached ball. I've never been in the personnel, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, it was a totally different, like, it was like foreign language in the sense that, again, I knew scheme, I understood it that way, but like personnel and scouting is not the what, but why, right? You're starting to pull apart, why can he run? Like, what is it about him that creates that strength, that power? Is it the flexibility? Is it just he's brute strong? Is it his stride length? Is it his stride frequency? Not just, man, that boy's fast, right? So like as a coach, you identify your fast players or your players who can run. But in scouting, you start pulling it apart. Why can he run? Is it flexibility? Is it like he's a powerful runner?
Yeah.
So like that started to stretch me in that sense. And then Green Bay was such a great place to be because they challenged you to grow, right? Like my reports that I first got back, man, my papers were bleeding. And I remember I called my dad like that. I don't know if I can do this, man.
How old were you first went up there?
Let's see. I was 30 when I went. Right, I just turned 30 when I went. It was interesting, man. Because again, like, but it helped me grow so much because of the feedback that they gave me. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It was like intentional. Like it was a word I heard the other day. Intentional contention. Like they weren't beating around the bush to make me feel comfortable.
Mm.
But it was like, hey, look, these are your deficiencies and these where you need to get better. This is where you need to get better. This is how you, if you want to, you know, do well in this particular realm of the game or area of the game, like this is what you need to do. And so just taking that and building on it and the feedback was so consistent and it was so constructive. Like it wasn't just a one-time thing, but it was like every day. Like we're reading through these reports every day, right? Mm-hmm. So like the more you wrote, the better you got, the more you could see the player. The more you saw the player, the better you could describe him. And then the better you could describe him, you could sum him up in about two or three sentences, right? It wasn't this long, you know, thesis that you're writing, like, because again, in those meetings, like, I don't have time for you to tell me your entire report. Yeah. Sum him up, tell me who he is, why you like him, who will he be for us, period. That's all I want to know. And then I'll go back and do everything else.
So with that, do they put you on, I guess, what schools and like what's that process like of going and like being your first time actually doing a report, that type of thing?
The biggest thing that I took from Green Bay was they cross train you. So you do some college and you do some pro. And so like the college personnel and the pro personnel are like two separate lanes once you get there. But having the ability to cross train, because in college you're doing more projection, which really comes to what we do in high school. Right, you're projecting players. Where on the pro personnel side, they are who they are. I'm just trying to find like what value does he have left? Is he an ascending player or is he descending? Like, has he reached his plateau? Has he gotten all of his years that he needs in the NFL? Like, what else can we get out of him? So that was the biggest thing that I took from them is again that being able to cross train and see it both sides, and I think it's helped me now. Just to be able to project more, like in high school, of course you're going to have unpolished players, but what, you know, how do they project? What will they be for us? If we wrap them with enough resources, because sometimes you'll have a guy who might not be eating, might not have proper lifting programs and things like that. But like you said, he can play.
Yeah.
So if you say, okay, we give him our resources, you know, he's eating at least five meals a day. He's doing this. Yeah, he'll be fine.
Jeez.
You know what I'm saying? Like he has upside. He's got potential. Now that word potential can get dangerous.
Potential.
Yeah, it get dangerous, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because you know, potential without performance, that runs out. That'll get you fired if you just potential. Hey, you got to go and you're not performing, right? And that, I mean, not saying it's a pressure situation, but that's the arena we're in, man. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like it's performance based. And so if you can't perform, then why are you here?
No, that makes sense.
No, that does make sense. Kind of, I guess, take us back a little bit to like getting to Green Bay. What was that journey for you from playing and like growing up and everything? How did you get to almost where you are now?
Yeah. So I started, and the reason I was at baseball camp because my first sport was baseball.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
Like my first love is baseball. I fell into football because I wanted to do something to keep my lower half in shape. I pitched and played shortstop, and so like they're like, hey, try quarterback.
Yeah.
And so, all right. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. So, you know, I could always throw. Like, as a kid, I could always throw. I grew up with older brothers, and so one was 6 years older, and the other was 4 years older. And so started playing T-ball at the age of six.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get into football until, like, age of eight, right? So two years later. And so just, you know, seeing them do it, like, again, that 4 and 6 year gap made me, like, catch up. I had to, you know, pick it up and go. So I think where I am now is a tribute to how they've helped me to get here, right? I think I've seen them, you know, go through the process of ups and downs, and by the time it got to me, I knew what to do and how to do it. So, you know, I wouldn't be here without them, But again, you know, baseball was the first sport. Grew up doing that. Love baseball still to this day. I do. It's a very, very unique sport in the sense of, yeah. It's like you can watch the game, but then there's a game within the game that you end up mm-hmm. watching, and you, everybody else is, and just you, yeah, you're looking at, okay, that was good footwork right there. That's good work around the bag. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like,
yes.
And so it's hard to like watch the game with people because they're,
dude, come on.
You know? So I'm like, you want to watch the game? No, I'm good.
Nah.
I'm good. You know what I mean?
Dude, the worst is going to a, I'm going to say it, the worst is going to a Vandy game. And sitting in the stands and watching the game, and you hear the conversations to your right, to your left, and just how much they don't know, and it's just nonsense. But it gets me infuriated, but I'm like, I can't, because they're just a fan mm-hmm. of the game.
Yeah, for sure.
They don't know all the intricacies of the game, and so I'm like, let me just be quiet. I really want to, or they're like, I pitch with a nasty slider. Why are you swinging at that? You shouldn't be swinging at that pitch.
Yeah,
like,
you go stand
in the box. Have you been in the box?
Right, exactly.
Come on now.
I know what that looks like to you.
Yeah. But now that's good, man. So where'd you play in college?
So I played at Ohio University in college. Went there, did football. I was attempting to do baseball. It was just our schedules were just so different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they brought me there to play football, so football is what mm-hmm. I chose to do.
Yeah.
But again, baseball was something that I always like wanted to be around, like always going over to the baseball games and just hanging around it. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, for me, it was such a pivotal point in who I am today, like just from a character standpoint of we used to be out on the field, like we had these neon Franklin baseballs that we used to hit at night because they wouldn't turn the lights on when we were working. Uh-huh. And so like we out there like trying to track the ball, right? You know what I mean? I remember this day, like my dad hit a ball, he hit it to my brother, and like we weren't on a field. We were like just out in like a, we weren't on a baseball field. We were just out in the field. Mm-hmm. And to this, like that ball was so lost, like, cause we could always track them down in the woods. Cause you know, and so just things like that, man. Like you appreciate those moments when it was cold. I remember, you know, one guy came out of the wreck and he was like, Vicky, don't take all that. You know, you're doing too much. It's just a game. Mm. And so like when my dad was like, he's one of those, he's very intense. Mm-hmm. When he said, hey, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it right. And so like we'd be in the backyard just swinging. And hey, if you're going to swing right.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to throw right. If you're going to do it right. Why are you mm-hmm. doing it? Why are you practicing bad habits? Yeah. So he was one of those, right? But again, like now I see how it pays off because like still to this day, I can still pick up a bat, still pick up a ball. I hadn't done it in years, but it's muscle memory, right? So again, just that work ethic and then having my brothers like ahead of me to see how they did it. I remember, you know, my oldest brother, he was down at Middle Georgia College and playing football, came home from football after the spring and had a workout with the Pittsburgh Pirates. And, you know, they said, hey, you're in football shape. We want to see you in baseball shape. And, you know, they sent him, wanted him to go to this league and play. He gets in the car. He's like, Dad, I don't know if I want to do that. Hmm? And I'm sitting in the middle of the seat like, my dad stopped the car. So what?
What's going on?
Yeah, you know, so I don't know if that's what I want to do. Like, what do you mean, right? So, you know, just, and he was the first one, like, so he was still figuring it out.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at myself like, boy, if that was my opportunity,
I'm gone.
I'm out. You know what I mean? I'm out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just to see him go through it and I'm thinking about it, like, as less reps as he had, like, because he was 6 years older than me, like, if he would have had my reps, he would have been way much better. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, like, that's just that appreciation piece of understanding like who went before me and who, you know, the sacrifices they made, even the decisions that they made that have kind of like made me say, hey, you know what, you need to take this decision, you need to take this and go. Green Bay was a hard decision for me because I just had, you know, just had my son. He was about 3 months old at the time. And, you know, I'm married, I'm trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And like, what's going on, right? Yeah. And so dad was like, hey, that's something you got to do. Like,
yeah,
don't worry about that. I'll take care of this down here. You know, that's where our support was. It was in the Atlanta area. Mm-hmm. And so just having that support and being able to, you know, go and learn. And again, I just, you know, show so much respect to, you know, my mom and dad and brothers and everybody who's had a piece of where I am today. So that's the biggest thing.
Man, as athletes, you know, competition is at the center. Mm-hmm. Is at our core. And so, and we talked to Candace about it yesterday. When you're no longer competing on the field, how are you utilizing that competition now? Like, where is your competition as a director of recruiting? Mm-hmm. You know, because it doesn't go away.
It
just goes into a different,
for sure.
You know,
I think for me it comes to doing something that hasn't been done here before. And again, that's like we say we're building a championship roster here at Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. Like that's just what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And so that's the challenge. And a lot of people look and say, you can't. Well, I will accept the can't. I want that one.
I like
that's
that.
That's the one I want. You know what I'm saying? Because like that ladder of success, like it's easy to climb. Like when everybody's telling you, yeah, that's the route to go. And, you know, we're going to help you up the ladder. But, you know, when you get over there and it's a couple steps missing on that ladder and it's a couple, you got to figure it out. You know what I'm saying? And just looking at it with your hands in your pocket, it ain't gonna get climbed, right? And so finding a way, that's the biggest thing. Again, like being in this place, I'm going into my fifth year here. I was with a previous staff. So just seeing and understanding like what it takes here, what's been attracted to this place, but actually like what is the challenge? Like where do we want to take it? For some, that's a challenge that they don't want to accept because some of them want it easier, and that's okay. Like, but I think for me, I'm blessed to be in a position to accept a challenge like that and to do everything I can to move it forward. And by doing so, that's every day I come in the office, find a way to get better, find a way to make this place better. And it's not so much chasing success, but it's about being significant and making an impact, right? So if I'm significant, like I'll be successful. I'm concerned about that.
Given.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But the impact piece is important. Even if it's a kid that you don't get, did you impact him enough that where, say, for instance, if he does hit the portal in 2 years, he's calling you. Say, hey, coach, listen, you remember you told me how it was going to play out. That's how it played out. Hey, what, you know, you got a spot. And then at that point, I may not even have a spot, but I may have a connect that does have a spot for him. So it's just being that. And then at the end of the day, even after the college level, you transition back to the pros, you'll end up drafting that guy one day. And so you built a relationship with him out of high school to when you know exactly who that is. Hey, I'm good on him. I'll stand on the table for him. Let's take him.
Full circle.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I guess kind of you've done the transition from playing to now working in front offices or working for a team now. How was that for you mentally and emotionally dealing with, all right, like you're done playing and it's time to move on to the next phase? Because I don't think it's really talked about enough. And I think that a lot of kids just view it as, oh, if I can't play, like that's it. Like I wasn't successful or anything. And that's never the case. Like whatever level you get to, like, there's still success in that to get to that point. Like you got something out of that. Right. So for you, kind of how was that dealing with that?
I think, you know, just coming to the realization that in everything you have talent and you have producers, right? Mm-hmm. So when we were playing, we were talent, and talent comes out every single year, right? You have some talent that transitions and become producers. And so they understand the lingo that's in that room. They understand how to work switchboards. They understand those things about it. And they didn't get that when they were on the field. They got that by getting around somebody that taught them that. So they stayed connected to that industry somehow. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, when you start to transition into being producers, which is like front office type stuff, you had a trait or characteristic that they saw when you were playing, that they say, he might can fit in this organization, whether it was your character, whether it was your consistency, whether it was just you showing up on time, whether it was how you treated the janitors in the room. Like they look at all that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And so therefore, when you don't get asked back to an organization, you have to ask yourself, okay, what didn't I do to get invited back in that room, right? And sometimes those rooms just aren't for you. Like it just happens like that. But, you know, just being able to stay connected to the game somehow, some way, because again, just because you weren't successful on the field doesn't mean you can't be successful in this game or in this arena. And so just again, learning and getting around, that transition for me was a little, I won't say difficult. I'll say I held on to mine a little longer than I should have, right? Okay. So right out of college, I still had aspirations of playing. And so like I went the route of like, you know, trying out CFL and, you know, doing arena ball, like just trying to wear my cleats as long as I could.
Yeah.
And I had opportunities like right out of college to get into GA and get into coaching. But I felt that I would have been selling myself short if I would have did that, because I still felt that I had something to run down.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that, you know, life experiences teach you, like, if I could do it again, I would do the same thing in the sense that, like, I wouldn't be who I am today if I, you know. So I don't have a regret in that. Like, again, and I will encourage people, as long as you still have that fire and that passion, chase it. And you'll know, like, when you wake up, and again, when it's not fun to you anymore, get out of it and go find something that's fun.
Yeah.
Right? Those guys that's playing ball at a high level, like, it's something about that game that's still fun to them. And so it's still attracting them, it's still waking them up every day. Could be the paycheck. Could be the lifestyle.
I was just saying?
Like, and it's not necessarily always the game that is the focal point. This is something that I can do to support my family, and I like supporting my family in this way. I like that lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I like doing it enough. Okay, I can go do this game. I'm gifted enough to go do this game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I've heard that. When I was down in Miami, sometimes my brother, he'll go back down and he'll see some of his former teammates from the University of Miami, and they'll say, man, I'm only doing it for the check. Basically, especially what they're saying is like, dude, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be, like you said, you're not missing nothing, man, but the money, you know? So sometimes it's like you just said, it's not even about the love anymore, but it's, I can provide for my mom, my dad, my kids, wife, whatever it may be. Right. And so this is why I still report to camp, you know?
And it's nothing wrong, like, it's nothing wrong with, everybody has different motivations, right? And so, hey, if that's your motivation to get up out here and go ball on Sunday, like, that organization is looking at you to come out and produce.
Yeah.
That's it. As long as you are producing, like, I can't argue with why you're doing it.
Yeah.
He's productive, right? Yeah. And again, everybody's motivations are different. So I think to look at it and say, he don't love the game, let's get off of that. Like, let's get past that. Because, like, loving the game and volunteering your time, like, volunteerism, like, it gets old. Like, when you have to live life and when you got bills and you got other things to do, I can't volunteer my time. I got to find some way to, you know. Now, there is a time when you can volunteer, when you can transition, and you can take an internship or you can take less pay. But, like, when life starts happening and you don't have that security blanket or you don't have that support and you have to provide, you got to figure it out. You know, so I don't knock people for living life and making decisions to, hey, look, I need to go do this. And, well, he didn't want to be here. He didn't love. No, it's not that. He had priorities, coach. Or, you know.
Yeah. What's it like being a guy who has played and you're on staff and personnel and you're in office with people? I'm not going to say that. What's it like being around people who did not play the game? Or is that just your experience either with Green Bay, Vandy, just having to listen, or people in power have decision making, you know, they have the decision making power, but they did not play. You know, it can be difficult, I think, to have to hear this opinion or this decision gets made and you've never been in the trenches before.
I think you can always learn from people.
Yes.
Either I can learn what to do or what not to do. So at the end of the day, I'm gonna be a fly on the wall and I'm gonna take in all this information that you're saying. And so from that point, I can put it in that bucket. Okay, I'll use this and I won't use that. Like, you know what I mean? So like, no matter who it is talking, whether they know it all or whether they know nothing, okay, this is what I will do, this is what I won't do. So like, everything is information and you can take that and you can learn from people with it. And so I've tried to, sometimes it is aggravating.
Yes.
It is, because you're sitting there and it's not that you're telling them that you've done all of these things, but they don't realize that you've done these things or been around people who've done ball. Or they don't realize what you know because you're not going out.
Just, you're not broadcasting.
Yeah, you're not broadcasting it. So when you sit back and you have these conversations and they're throwing stuff around and it ain't sticking, you like, okay, that sounds great to everybody else, but you're giving me fluff right now. That's fluff. Yeah. That's got no substance to it. So you just learn to sort through that and sort through those conversations. And then again, you know, you learn how to dance. You learn how to dance.
Play the game, man. You play the game within the game.
You learn how to dance.
Yeah.
Because when that tempo changes, you got to pick it up.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And when the song changes, slow it down, you got to slow it down. You know what I mean? Because you always want to be somewhere near the dance floor that you can understand, like, what is the rhythm? What's the tempo of the room? Because once you get off the dance floor, once you're, you know, they start moving those rooms on you, then you're chasing information. And you don't want to be in a position where you're chasing information, because at that point you feel like an outcast.
Yeah.
And then
that'd be hard to recover from that too.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah. Because at that point you're at their mercy, like, always chasing. Like, what do you have? What do you have? What do you have? And they'll give you what they want you to know.
It's better to be in the room on the outskirts.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Just so peeping.
You can hear it, yeah.
That's it.
Just peeping.
No, I guess, how is, from going to, from being a player now, being in the front office, like, how is it when you guys, like, talk about players? Like, I know you might not have any, like, guys that you've played against or played with anymore, probably, but now that you're in the college game, but even when it was at Green Bay, maybe guys you know, and it's like, oh, you got to look at this in a different light now, as you're not really a player or a coach. You're, these guys are being looked at as, all right, what do they bring? Mm-hmm. And that's really all I care about. Yeah. And it sounds bad, but when you're in those positions, that's what it is. Like, you, yeah, you want a great personality and everything, but what is he bringing that's going to help me win on Sunday?
Exactly. So how do you stay objective being that you were a player and now you are now?
I think you always just go back to the skill set. You have to be able to separate the person from the skill set. Like, what is his skill set? Like, he, because once those start, the biggest thing that happens in college is you scout them and then you recruit them, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, once those lines start to cross, it's more difficult for you to make a decision because you recruited a player and you got to know a player. And so at that point, like, you all have become very relational in the sense that, like, you understand him, you understand what makes him tick, you understand, like, why he's doing it. So you have to draw a fine line between the person and the skill set and be able to separate those. Because at the end of the day, I want people with skill sets. Mm-hmm. So the skill set is what's going to, that's what we're trying to attract. And so in that, you just really have to be able to, again, separate those and understand that when it comes down to making a business decision, like, it's about this game, right? It's got nothing to do with you personally. Like, we just don't have a roster spot. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, listen, you have to protect the program. You have to protect the organization, right? Mm-hmm. And by doing so, but also what you have to do is you have to make sure that you always want to see people land soft, right? Mm-hmm. I might not have a spot for you here, but then let me pick up the phone as soon as I do release you and, hey, got a guy. So it's such, this is what he fits. Hey, what are you looking for? Or do you know anybody looking for this or looking for that? So always trying to find a place for people to land soft, land on their feet, keep doing what they like to do or love to do. You never want to take somebody's livelihood away from them. You see, a lot of times when that livelihood is taken away from them, like, a lot of off the field stuff starts to happen because I can't do that anymore. And that was my livelihood.
Hey,
you know what I mean? Like, and so again, like, the mental health aspect comes in at that point. Like, this was my sanctuary, being on the field. Now I can't be on the field. Like, now what? You know, and then it's like this spiral. And so again, no, he couldn't stay there on your organization or in your team, but what did you do to keep him attached to the game? Because you understand that some people, like, this game is all
there. It's everything.
It's everything, right? Yes. And I don't care where the game is. Look, if whatever it is, I just want to play the game. I don't care what level it's on. I just want to play the game. I want to be a part of the camaraderie. I want to be a part of a team. I want to have the locker room chats. I want to have the bus rides. I want that. You know what I mean? So that's what they love about sports. And I think as athletes too, like, that's something that we will never forget. You won't forget those bus rides. You won't forget those sessions in the locker room. Like, you
that's
just
the main
don't
thing we
stuff.
Talk about, man. When you truly miss, when you start playing, it's not even competing on the field for sure, but it is the locker room.
Yeah, it is
the your boys. It's the hotel stories. It's all that. It's like, man, do you miss playing? I'm like, Mr. Boys.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Mr. Boys,
because you all went through it, right? Even like guys that you might have went on a visit with or something like that, and you didn't commit there. Like, you remember those times that, like, you had with them, right? Mm-hmm. And so, it's as long as you can, again, provide somebody an opportunity to stay connected to this game, like, that's how it continues to go and grow. That, again, just creating those opportunities for them to still stay attached. Whether that is in coaching or whether that is in personnel, it might even be in training, right? Like, no, you aren't playing anymore, but, you know, you can train my guys. Like, I got some clients that I want you to train. You know, I got some guys I want you to train. So many avenues besides playing. Playing is one avenue, and it pays well. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But, like, hey, there are other avenues to stay connected, and you can still support your family in those ways as well. Mm-hmm. So.
And what has... What have you seen from Clark Lee, man? Because I've seen him from afar, and I got to meet him once or twice. I personally like what I see and get from him. But you having a front row seat to him every day, what does he mean to the program? What have you seen from his leadership style and how he's getting the guys going, the staff, everybody in harmony? Like,
Coach Lee is very intentional about what he does. Like, he addresses his team each and every day. When I say each and every day, like even in the spring, he made sure that I want to touch my team each and every day. Like whether that's in the morning just for 15 minutes, I want to get in front of them and let them know. And his messaging is consistent. That's the biggest thing. I think when a message is consistent, like the expectations and the standard doesn't change. So you know what's expected of you. Either you meet it or you don't. And if you don't, you chose not to meet it. And so therefore, when we move forward.
You know why.
You know why, right? Yeah. There is no gray area. And I think that's been one of the best things as far as how guys are now starting to see, okay, he's consistent. Like, he is who he, like, that's him.
And that's different when you, when you see the coach, you know, he's doing it every day. He shows the same way every day. You know what you're going to get from him. And he's demonstrating the characteristics, qualities. Now you have no choice but to show up.
Right.
And that's from a player and that's from a coach.
Absolutely.
So he's doing it. I have no choice.
And it's not he's doing it to show you up. He's doing it. That's because who he is. Like, right. I remember year one, we had a snowstorm, and we all got snowed in the office. Like, at that time, I had my Mustang, and, like, I'm like, okay, that ain't going to work. I can't get back to the house. You know what I'm saying? I can't go to Bellevue in this. So we were in the office. But he went, and he got a – I don't know if anybody knows. He went and got a shovel and started, like, shoveling the Star V. Like, just, you know – I mean, like, snow would cover it up, he'd be out there shoveling it up. And so, again, because it meant something to him, you know, like, it wasn't that he wasn't doing it for anybody at all. Like, we were looking like, who is that out there in the middle of the field? Who is, man, they wilding. You know what I mean?
Tripping, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, again, like, that was, and he wasn't even here for a month and a half, 2 months at that point. So you start to see that, and you're like, okay, and then you just continue to see that showing up as far as him walking through the locker rooms. And if he's in the hall or something needs to be picked up, he's picking it up. Like, it's this, like, servant leadership type of modeling. And this is what we're doing. This is what we're about. And that's easy to follow. Like,
I was about to say, as a player, I want to play for that type of guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I'm gonna give you my all for sure.
Absolutely.
And we used to do, like, a field cleanup at Vandy, and we'll have a whole meeting about it in the classroom. It'll be projector screen. Okay, this person's gonna be here. You guys, this group,
all laid out.
This group is getting the concourse. I mean, the concourse, the football, baseball, and then basketball. Yeah. So we cleaning all that up, even though it's not even out. We cleaning that up.
Where guys are going.
Yeah. We getting just nearly the street. We getting the street behind the stadium. We getting everything. We getting our own field crew and. The coaches are involved. Corbs is involved. Like, everybody, it's a whole, it's top to bottom. Yeah. And so you see Corbs on his hands and knees scrubbing. You see the Coach Bass or Brownie, they doing something. Everybody's doing something. And so it's like, that's not normal.
Yeah.
Because head coach don't have to do that.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm sure most places they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you see that from a head coach, it's like, I play for that guy.
That's respect.
Yes.
Yeah.
No doubt. He's doing respect. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, who am I not to do it now? Like, I can't.
Man on his hands and knees.
I can't. What am I going to say? Oh, you're not, like.
Right.
If he's doing that, I'm like, whoosh. And that's the head guy. I got
it. Ain't doing that. No.
Yeah.
All right. Don't do it.
Yeah. It's a problem. Definitely.
Easy.
But I do think that consistency, and it's not that they are doing it to show anybody up. No, they're doing it because that's who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And by them being who they are, they're attracting people that's like-minded, that are singular in vision. And once you get enough people in one place with the same vision, they'll figure it out. They'll figure how to get it done. You know what I mean? So that's one of the biggest things that I've seen Coach Lee do is, again, get in here and, okay, this is the vision. This is what I have for the program. And now let me get the right people on the bus so we can go. And of course, you know, and nobody ever has everything right. That's the thing. So, you know, as we're going through this process, man, it's very, very good to see, like, the intentionality that we're moving around the building with. You know, one of the main reasons I like being around Coach Corbs is because, like, his attention to detail.
Yes.
Like, even at camp, like, when he told the parents, hey, listen, parents, release this opportunity to your children.
Mm-hmm.
Like, leave them, not, you know, pick up is at this time, release this opportunity to your children. So at that point, like just even being intentional about talking to the people that want to still have control over, like everybody wants to control things, right? But release the control to them and let them make of it what they want to make of it, you know? Because again, everything is an evaluation and everything is an interview. And I know he has youth and everything else, but as early as that, you can start to see, okay, he might be a ball player.
Yes.
You know, okay, who is that?
Yeah.
He
Oh yeah.
Yes.
You know what I mean? The way kids move.
Yeah, you can. You can, but like if it's always I'm looking over my shoulder to
look
at dad or where's, no, like y'all go, I need you out of sight, out of mind. Like go that way. Go sit in the car and work on your laptop. Let me guess. You know what I mean? I don't need you around while we're training. Because on Saturdays, Sundays, even on Thursdays, like when y'all playing ball, they can't help you. Can't do it.
You know, that's a separate conversation, but in terms of like parents to child, it's best to start
early
now.
Yeah.
So they don't.
And it's granted, better for the betterment of the kid. I don't know how that feels as a parent, and because I don't have a kid or anything, but it's like, I feel like it's probably easier if you can start it early and just slowly work your way out of it. Because I think as to get to college and then just try to rip it off, I feel like that's so tough much. For everybody.
Ain't no calling a coach. Ain't not.
And it's like,
better you not have to talk about
them.
The sport.
Yeah, you have to teach them to start to advocate for themselves. You know, I think being a parent, and like when I started, like my wife always laughs at me because like if Jackson fell and he was hurting, she was like, Brandon, you act like you the one that fell. Like it hurt me too, you know what I'm saying? Like she was like, relax. Like I can't have both of y'all emotional. But like, you know, as a parent, like you want everything to be right. And so like at this point I'm starting to like understand, okay, let him figure it out. He'll figure it out, you know what I mean? So we put him in, you know, jujitsu and things like that. And so him learning new skills, you know, he kept saying this is hard or it's hard or something was different, it's hard. And so we were riding in the car one day. I said, Jackson, we're going to get out of the hard stuff. Like, we're not going to say that. So what we're going to say is I'll ask you, is it hard? And I need your response to be no. I'm going to ask you if it's difficult. I need your response to be no. And I'm going to ask you, what is it? And you're going to respond, I just hadn't done it enough. So like the more you do, it's not that somebody is better than, they just got more reps than I have. I just need to take more reps. Let me get a few more reps. Let me see him a little bit more. Okay, I got him. He's not going to throw that same pitch. I promise you, he's not. He got me that first at bat. Okay, I just needed to see him a little bit more. That's all. I need to take him deeper into the count. So, okay, got him. I know exactly what he's coming with right now. So it's not so much of hard, difficult, like, okay, just I hadn't figured it out yet because I hadn't had enough reps. Let me get some more reps and let's go play.
Nah, that's real. I mean, I have some moments like that. I don't know if it's in sports or it might have been in a different field, and I used to complain, and either mom or dad, mostly mom, like, it's only your first time doing it, Kiambu. You're not gonna be the best at this. It's your first time. Like, nah, I should be the best at it.
It's aggravating, right? It's aggravating.
Nah.
Because we all wanna get it right. We wanna get it right the first time.
Right.
But like, you know, greatness don't happen overnight.
Yeah.
It happens over and over and over and over again. It happens from the stumble. It happens from understanding, like, my foot was outside my frame right there. That's why I couldn't get to that ball. So you start to, like, understand those little things. And once you start to execute the little things over and over and over again, that's how you become great. It ain't the big play. It's the small things that you did exceptionally well over and over again that allowed you to make that play. So small things. So you got to really be intentional about those details and those fundamentals and, you know, all of those things. And of course, like right now, the big push in quarterback play is throwing off platform, is the Pat Mahomes throws.
There's
some things that Pat Mahomes does that nobody can do, and that's because his genetics, and that's because the way he's wired, period.
Facts.
Those are not fundamentals, guys.
And honestly, I was about to say, those throws that he's doing, he's not even thinking about it. He's just doing it.
I'm just doing
it. You can't
teach
him.
This is how my body reacted in this moment. And I didn't think about doing it. It's like, this is the best way to make this play, so I'm going to make this play. Very instinctual and natural.
Exactly.
But now, in the past 2 years, I've seen people do that throw on pro day. I've seen people do it. They put it on Instagram.
Yeah.
And it's a big thing now. But it's like, you know.
Can't train. Yeah. You're trying to take a generational talent and, everybody got to be like it. Like, he's one of one.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can train it, but it's like, you can't force it.
And I feel, that's what I feel like they're trying to do. They're trying to force this on every quarterback. Can you do this? Yeah. And it's like, he can't.
another
stop
big,
making them try.
They have, you know, add your sauce to it, you know, get add your sauce, add your sauce. I'm fine with your sauce, but understand that what we're eating is pasta here. So we got to have some form of a noodle, which is that foundation, right? I don't care whether you go red sauce, white sauce, sauce and meatballs, whatever it may be. You got to have something to put that sauce on. But we going straight to, I want, man, sauce it up. Coach, he ain't got
look, you got pasta, what
you know what I'm saying? Like, where's the foundation there? You know what I mean? And so, but everybody sees, like, I think professional athletes are exceptional. I think you got some college athletes that play at a high level and who've been part of some high functioning organizations that they are really good, right? And people take for granted like how athletically inclined they are. And them by being that good, you know, there is no, like, there's no shortcut to that. It took some time to get there. It took him multiple reps. He understands his body. He understands those throws. So
that's, and I think especially with young kids, that's, I feel like the one tough thing about, like, when you're like, oh, go watch this pro, this big leaguer do it. And it's like, I say that sometimes, but it's almost like I need to make sure it's like, I just want you to look at this part. Because if you tell them just go watch a big leaguer, they start seeing all the different
things.
They want
to do the whole swing.
Yeah, they want to do it all. And it's like, no, that's not what I want you to get. And guys can get lost in that, especially even, not even little kids, the older you get, it's like, dude, you got to understand, like, his body is completely different to yours.
Yes.
He moves in a completely different way. What he does is because his body moves a certain way. If you're trying to do that, does your body move that way? If it does, okay, that's fine. That's you. If it doesn't, you need to find either find somebody that your body is the similarities or you need to, that's just not going to be you.
Yeah.
So, and that's the problem now in sports.
We were talking at the camp and we mentioned, like, Vandy is, obviously it's a very high academic institution. And so if you don't have certain prerequisites, you can't get in, regardless of how talented you may be in some cases. And so how has that affected Vandy football in the past? And we talked about it's different now a little bit. And so speak a little bit on that. Now you can get some of those players who can go to Alabama, who can go to Ole Miss, but they wanted to come to Vandy, but they couldn't get in because of academics. And so now Vandy can compete better now on the field for it. So yeah, speak on that.
Yeah, I think, you know, Vandy is competitive on and off the field. And the standard is there. One thing we've worked to do is find guys who love ball enough that they've taken care of the schoolwork part, right? And so it's been a amazing, you know, partnership and collaboration with, you know, the other side of campus of, like, professors coming out, seeing what we're investing and what we're doing. What we ask of our guys, what we ask of our guys when they go on the other side of campus. And I think you have to really be intentional about getting them over, because a lot of them don't trickle over to the side of campus to know what you're doing or understand, like, why you were maybe 5 minutes late for my class, but I come and I see you practice and I see that you got out and I see you ran the shower and then I saw you run the Hendrix, you got a box and now you're, you know, humping it to the other side and you're walking in class maybe 5 minutes late, right? With a box in your hand, like, okay, that's effort. You know what I'm saying? And so the biggest thing I've seen with the collaboration is, again, having more professors, instructors, doctors, people from the other side of campus coming and seeing what we're doing and how we're doing it. Just gaining a respect for the process, what we ask of our guys. And so that helps us, like, when we have a kid who is showing academic progress, right? Hey, listen, we'll get him where he needs to be. Like, we'll keep working with his counselors. We'll tell his counselors these are the courses he needs to take in order to be in a place, you know, when we look from an admission standpoint that he's good to go. They've been very, very helpful with us in that aspect of saying, hey, this is what they need and this is where they need to be. So we can give them feedback on, hey, look, this is where your transcript is right now. This is where I need you if this is what you want to do. And so just by giving that communication itself then shows the player that, hey, they're really interested in me because ain't nobody else talked to me like this. You know what I mean? They just, and so when we say that it's bigger than ball, like we're actually giving you feedback and information that you can choose to either use or say, you know what, I'm good on that. And if you're good on that, okay, like that's no love lost either way. Like, you know, cause it's not for everybody, but just finding guys who, again, love ball enough to say, hey, look, okay, bet you said I need that. Okay. We can do that. Mm-hmm. And then we start talking to counselors and we start talking to admin and we start talking to people in the building to understand like what type of kid is he? Is he going to effort to get there? It's not an expectation that's unknown. Mm-hmm. Like it's laid out. This is where we need you.
Yeah.
And so everybody doesn't meet it. Everybody doesn't get there. But at the same time, as we see them efforting to get there, they might not have met that standard for Vandy, but then you pick up that phone and say, hey, look, he meet it for us, but he meet it for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just make sure he ain't on the other side of the ball. Gotta see him.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing.
New facilities coming. Mm-hmm. Candace mentioned it, and she gave a very powerful speech at the first athletic meeting in the indoor facility, and just about don't let Vandy get these things because people are not going to want to see us. Like, they should be worried. Now we're getting these facilities. We got the institution on the academic side. We got the city as well. Yeah. Watch out in terms of like getting recruits now.
For sure.
Because that's really the only thing that has been lacking is the big facilities, the IPOP.
Yep, that's it.
And so now that's on the way. It's like oof. So what's your take on that?
It's exciting, and it's again like the stadium with the end zones blown out right now. Like yes, is it the most attractive or and pleasing to the eye? No, but it's progress, right? And so by seeing that progress, like that's something that you're not selling I'm not selling you on anything. I'm showing you what it is. You choose to get in or get out. Yeah. If not, we're still moving forward with it. But if you do choose to get in, I know right now, I've got somebody that knows they're gonna grab a hard hat and gonna go to work so I can build with that. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be up, because once it's up, it's gonna attract some of any and everything. And then our job is gonna be even more tough because we gotta sort through all the mess.
BS.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So where it's almost like get in early, in the sense that, hey, look, we're gonna build a foundation with solid guys, solid people. So when we do start to take off, hey, listen, if you're out, stay out. Then you can be very selective. If I want you in, then you in. You know what I mean? Like that's that part of selection. And it takes time. Again, you're talking about cycles, you're talking about different classes, you're talking about consistency in coaching staff. Like it's a lot of things that come into play there in order to get to that level of success. And so piece by piece, we're putting it in place. And the facilities is really just the icing on the cake, because the facilities can be what it is, but it's the people in the building that make it happen. It's the people in the building that make it go. It's more about the people than it is the mission, we were at a leadership conference and they said, mission focus can ruin the mission. Like mission first can ruin the mission, because you forget that people drive that mission. And if you're not concerned, or if you're not interested in people and growing people and making sure people are okay, your mission is nothing, because you can't do it by yourself. Mm-mm. So like if you're not always in touch with the people, like what are they saying? What are they needing? Big thing. That's why Coach Lee always walks through the facility. Hey, listen, he put an org chart together of like where players represent, the entire player body. And hey, look, what is it that you all need down there? Like it's not everybody coming up to his office, but it's those team leaders that, hey, coach, listen, we need this and we need that. Okay, I'll work on that. How quickly? Like, what does that look like? How would that benefit us? If I can do it, I'll do it and we'll look into it. But it's just that chain of command and communication that's open now, that now we're starting to build leaders throughout the organization where they can advocate for themselves. So when it's an opportunity to make a change on the field on a Saturday, hey, I don't feel hesitant to come in to coach. Hey, coach, we need to get out of that because this is what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We've had these difficult conversations enough to where we built trust. So now when you come to me, you're not coming to me about something. Oh, coach, my shoestrings don't feel right. No, you're coming to me with something of substance. And so at that point, I can say, okay, I can get on the headset and say, hey, look, we might want to look at this, adjusting this.
Yeah.
Because my players are playing. You know, they're the ones that's playing. And so they are pivotal. They are key in what we're building. And so, they have a say-so in it as well. So we got to be able to tap into that and gather information from them along with our 30,000-foot perspective and put it all together.
Gotcha, man. That was good.
That was good.
That's good, brother. That's it, man. Yeah,
that's definitely a different light.
Last question. I was asked to guess. Give us a question for the next person to come on. And before you get that, we're going to ask you the question, the last guess. Right. So give us like your, what's the best food spot in Nashville? That's what they ask.
Ooh,
they
want to know. Best food spot in Nashville.
What's your go-to?
My go-to?
Yeah.
My go-to is Rhythm and Spice.
Rhythm and Spice.
Rhythm and Spice, yes. R-I-D-D-I-M. Rhythm and Spice.
Rhythm.
Rhythm, yeah. Okay. Jamaican spot. It's over near Jefferson Street.
Okay.
Like headed toward TSU.
Yeah.
It's legit.
Rhythm and Spice.
Yeah, Rhythm and Spice. That's the spot.
Same on. Yeah. Now, you gotta give a question to the next guest.
Yeah, so my question would be, if you could do anything and knew you wouldn't fail, what would it be?
Ooh.
If there was one thing you could do and you knew you wouldn't fail, what would it be?
All right, answer.
What would it be?
Yeah.
I got an answer. Okay, if I could do anything, right, and knew I wouldn't fail.
Yeah.
In all honesty, man, like, I like to see people grow.
Okay.
Right? And if I could, like, help every person, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I just like seeing lives change. I like seeing people, you know, their dreams and stuff accomplished. And so I know you can't save everybody, right?
Yeah. No.
But, like, if I could, man, I mean, like, hey, look here. What is it that you need? Like, what is it that you need? Like,
so, basically, you want to be a genie.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Let me be Aladdin. Let me be in the movie for a little bit. Let me be, you know. But yeah, man, it's just, again, that's what I would do. I would help.
Yeah. That's good, man. This man's a saint.
For the people.
All right, that's Brandon Jones, everybody. Comment, like, all that, share.
Subscribe
to the channel and whatnot. And thank you for coming on, man.
Appreciate y'all having me.
Appreciate it. Football. No doubt.